Mountain Radio.
Well, we had the pleasure recently of speaking to Scott Taylor, Chief Operating Officer from Integrated Facility Services. It was about the security and consideration for the safety of our frontline workers who put themselves out there on a daily basis. They face attack and abuse. And of course, we all know something needs to be done to protect those that protect us. So today, however, closer to our lives in the safety we thought of our home is the risk of cyber abuse. And joining us right now is the man himself. Scott, good afternoon to you.
Hi, how are you going?
Good, thank you, Scott. I'm not that technical at home, but I know of so many people that are. They just have to say Siri this and Siri that and things start and things stop. Are we getting too big for our boots, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. Unfortunately, we're getting a bit too comfortable when it comes to especially when it comes to our online security and safety. We've just got some bad habits that we need to break.
Well, you know, it's convenience, I think. That's what everyone looks at, and they're putting trust in the people that have come up with these incredible technical inventions, I suppose, Scott, to make life easier for everybody. And it's becoming so much more affordable. In what part of our lives are we most susceptible?
Definitely when it comes to the setup around with our, I'm going to call it password hygiene. So with our emails and with our social media platforms, we just don't pay a lot of attention to that. And what happens is people either carry through the same passwords from work to home systems, or they're using the same password across multiple different platforms and others. And unfortunately, it just makes them vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And the difference is, if you come home from work one day and somebody's stolen your fridge or your TV, you're going to notice it straight away. But if someone's picking at your data for a while, that's definitely not as obvious.
Absolutely not. Now, for convenience and for memory, because I've got several passwords, it drives me crazy. And I think if I ever have early stage of memory loss, I'm going to have to try and find out what they are to access my bank and everything. But people, for some reason, for simplicity, do go for the simple ones, like birthdays, year dates, what else?
Yeah, well, sadly enough, especially with the amount of and the increase of hacks that have occurred, it's crazy to think at the moment that the password 123456 is still used by over 23 million people across the globe. So
we're all human.
Definitely. And it's a very valid point what you said about for remembering the passwords as well. And that's why there's some great password vaults that you can get, like they're set up, you know, one password. Norton 360 Premium is one as well. There's a couple of good ones out there, and really it's just a matter of remembering your one master password then and setting up some two-factor authentication on that.
Yeah, the thing has been, you know, a lot of people say, well, I've eventually changed my password to be the same all across the different areas that I have to use it in. Is that a good thing, or should we have different passwords for different pieces of equipment we've got?
Yeah, definitely it's a good thing to have a separate one for every everything that we're accessing. The ideal, from my point of view, would be even setting up a separate email address purely for your socials, because what happens is, especially when the amount of apps and others that we're downloading, we don't either close accounts or delete some of the old apps. And so what happens is some of those older apps where we've used the same password will be the ones that will get trying to get attacked first. So there'll be Snapchat, but they'll be jumping on the Snapchat or others like those for checking over time, and then we'll follow up. And if you're not checking your email regularly for with those with the, hey, somebody's tried to access this account, you do something about it.
Yeah.
So just keep trying.
Do you know what? I reckon this cyber breakdown situation, of which we're sort of contributing to, I suppose, with what you're saying, it's like a virus going throughout the world as well as the real one.
Yeah, and the thing is, well, so funnily enough, I was actually looking at an update report today. I think Domo put it out, and one of the things they put in there, it's quite an interesting read where it actually says data never sleeps, and it says for every minute at the moment, currently, obviously looked across World Wide Web, for every 1 minute at the moment, there is 500 hours of YouTube videos are getting uploaded.
God.
Netflix users streaming 404,000 hours of videos, and Zoom having 208,000 meetings. It's an incredible amount of just effort going in, and obviously with the pandemic as well, people are working from home. They're a lot more reliant on data, and it's just a really timely opportunity to reset our security and safety with this.
So apart from passwords and changing and being very mindful, and can I just ask you, do you write them down in hard copy somewhere as well in case you forget? And where can you get that it's safe?
so ideally for with those, that's why these the password vaults, like, are so good. They're quite cheap, very easy to use, and very, very simplistic from that perspective. But it gives you that level of protection. So the password, so that's definitely one part. Another point is about the backing up your data as well. And this is from a business and a personal point of view. Sadly, I get people that speak with us that have lost either business transactions and others, or photos. They've had 10 years worth of photos, and while things are getting accessed and hacked, they've lost a lot of data. If you can take that extra couple of minutes just to set up a couple of these different items, it just can keep your data safe.
Now, you mentioned password vaults. Could you explain what that is, how that can be accessed?
Sure. So for with these, either programs through your PC or even there's devices, there's the apps you can download.
It's an app, is it?
Your mobile devices, yeah. And so they're an app. So what happens is they actually help from a functionality point of view if they're set up right as well. So when you actually, you need to remember, obviously, your main master password for that. And I suppose for the tip with that as well, I always recommend using a passphrase of 15 characters or more. So it's going to have letters, numbers, and symbols. And there's some very unique efforts that people have in creating their passwords. But if you've got to remember that one password with these vaults, when you're then signing in and setting up for saving those passwords, it will actually say through the actual website that you're logging into, any other secure data, whether it be addresses and others and a range of other things. So it's a really effective tool that makes things simplistic, because you don't want it complicated.
No, you just complicated me, let me tell you. But how safe is the vault?
Well, definitely a lot more safe than standard methods. So, I mean, sadly at the moment, whether it's people opening up on their phones and having something on their notes that just says pins and passwords, people storing things in their phone as a message where they'd normally put a person's name and then the number, they've got St. George and then pin or whatever and the passwords at the moment, or physically writing things down. Like, a lot of people still have that that hardcover book where if you open up, it's got email addresses, passwords, whatever, and not only is that not very secure, if something happens at home, they haven't got any backup of that.
So apart from the financial loss, which is the obvious reason people get your password and get into your accounts and that sort of thing, what other areas are they attacking people if they are able to do that?
And depending on the different part, whether it's from a commercial point of view or, I'm going to say, from a residential point of view, often it's like your first part of it with the scams for trying to get payment as well. And so, there's been quite a dramatic increase with this, especially since the pandemic. Because, whilst people are away from the workplace, the criminals, like you sadly, haven't taken a break. So, things like emails going out that look very similar, like even with the verbiage and others, to a Netflix, like your email and a range of others, and people are falling for those. So separate to that, for organisations, they're trying to get data, actionable data. I mean, you've got obviously larger scale, state-based actors that are doing things, as we heard with RMS and a couple of others. But anything from causing disruption to just really obtaining your data, like for improper use.
Absolutely. We've seen it happen to huge corporations. Their, emails have been hacked and everything, and they are in a heck of a mess. The whole thing is, there's not a handbook, is there, that tells us what we should be doing. I mean, it's so much information we have to take in.
Yeah, and I suppose that's why it's, I've mentioned before, it's wonderful that obviously this is something that you're sharing some of this information and having the platform for us to share it with the people listening to your show. There's a fair bit of literature out there at the moment, and, there's multiple, especially with the Australian cybersecurity sites as well. They share some good information, but I suppose part of it is trying to give it in a format that's palatable for the everyday person, so they're not having to sift through and understand those parts. There's probably just one other point that I'd actually mention that, and I'm not sure if we're going to get to this, but because it's in that field, is people that are either trying to get your data or others as well, and even look at images, sometimes look at things with a different set of eyes. So if we're putting up a photo, innocently we're putting it up because we're, I suppose, what I call content focused. Here's John, he's just got his license and proud of him, or here's the detail, look what we've done within your kitchen bench.
Yeah.
People who are doing different forms, and obviously trying to obtain data and information, look at things with a different set of eyes. So they're not looking at John's smiling face with his license. they're zooming in to get the name, date of birth and license number and the rego, or the photo in your kitchen when you're remodeling the kitchen.
Yeah.
They're zooming in to see if there's any bills on the desk that have address details and a range of other things. So the only reason I mention that is, and I know this is going to sound corny, I don't know any other way to say it, is that with some of the photos that you share on social media, share that photo. So so when you're preparing the photo for share, go through, and I know most people take, you know, 9 or 10 photos to get the one they're going to share.
Yeah.
But then have a break for 5 seconds and then look at it again from a security perspective and just think, what's in the background? Am I comfortable in sharing everything that's behind there? And that will make a massive difference as well.
No, that's really good advice. You're absolutely right. That is something that all of us can understand and take on board. Now, can I also ask you about this, right? The situation here that you've said that we're still at risk is with our refrigerator, our light globes, and what else? Our washing machine, for goodness sake.
Yeah, I mean, obviously with the Internet of Things, the amount of things that are connected, so based on people's access, there's obviously like a lot more data that can be taken now. And so the importance for getting these things right, it's never been more important. There's also a lot of different areas at the moment that people aren't thinking of the byproducts, so the discussions aren't getting had. When people started working from home and everything happening like with the pandemic, there was also an exponential increase in people signing up for online learning. Because there was such a massive increase with there as well, there's additional vulnerabilities that come from that because you're entering personal details, payment details, and a range of other parts. Mm. So it's just really important, and I know it's going to sound corny again, but just think before you click. You know, like you're checking to make sure it's the right website. Don't go on Facebook and click on the button that says, hey, which celebrity am I like, or which holiday destination am I going to next, because they're just data gatherers. So it's just a matter of protect your data like you would your physical assets as well.
Who are these clever people out there that are doing all of this? Where are they? We've got to find these people.
Yeah, it's sadly, it's the same as when we do some of the physical training and say, what does a criminal look like? There's such a diverse range of people that get involved in these type of activities, and whether it's people hacking systems, like if you're trying to get access to building management systems just so they can see if they can turn the air conditioning on and off and settings, a range of other parts. There's just a whole mix of people for this, and it just depends on what their motivation is.
Yeah. Well, the virus has been a war. I consider it the Third World War, to be honest, without the tanks and everything involved. And if you had another country that wanted to take over another city or whatever, all they'd have to do is take over the power sources through the whole city.
Yeah, and multiple points as well is that, look, when this occurred and everybody sort of all of a sudden went, okay, we need to get everybody working from home. Okay, well, here you go, Sandra, here's your computer, here's your mouse, here's your logon details, away you go, and we'll see you at the first work meeting on Monday. Because it happened so quickly, organisations either didn't have the security plans in place to make sure they've got the right framework and processes in place, or not even aware of it. So when all these people now are setting up and working from home, even when they come back to work and they've got some of their own devices, it's going to bring with it another unique suite of concerns as well.
Whole new set of rules, I think, we've learned from this. Look, the other areas too, it showed up, it says here, was a newspaper report actually on a Russian-based website. It followed security problems in an iBaby monitor connected, light bulbs and keyless locks.
Yeah, I mean, from a connectivity point of view, I suppose any of these other items, and probably the easiest way to understand that is, regardless of what type of item it is, once it's connected through with that system, then it's and connected to the system controllers, regardless if it's going to be like the monitors, it's going to be the flashing light globes, it's going to be sound systems, TVs, other devices, a range of others. Once they're connected, they're connected. And that's why getting these protections in place is just crucial.
Can I ask you, because I know it has been brought up since, Siri's been around for quite some time now, but in your home, when you are using Siri, can they hear what's going on in the home as well? I mean, am I being ridiculous here either? We're saying that word a lot today, aren't we?
so definitely, because they're listening for some of the preset verbal cues and commands that are there. So for them to be able to pick those items up, they have to be obviously like you're listening for those elements. But I suppose the question that leads on to then is that information and items, they're getting used as part of populating the social media platforms. If I'm having a discussion with a friend about something, why is it that I can jump on Facebook and 5 minutes later I'm seeing an ad for that? I've got to say that's not my speciality area about the sharing of data, like you're from that component, but definitely the use of information, behavioural triggers, and a range of other parts that work then with companies' marketing campaigns. It's definitely like a folds in information to assist with making those decisions for sure.
If you were in the room where Siri was able to pick up verbal, you know, instruction from you, if you were having a bit of an argument with your partner and telling them to get nicked, I mean, I can't imagine what Siri would say back to us.
Yeah. It's part of it with that, I mean, I think there was a post somebody had put up and said, I was speaking to my wife about the Transformers and Decepticons, and, like, you know, she said that it was incorrect, so I laughed and then the folks were laughing, you know, words to that effect. But funnily enough, if the benefits, and because we're in such an age of convenience, some of the things that we're trying to really expand off for getting these benefits are causing these vulnerabilities. I mean, there's systems you can get for your home now that are location or activity based. So in other words, when my vehicle gets within 5 kilometers of my house, turn the air conditioning on to 18 degrees and play this music. For these things to occur, it's everywhere, like, we've got that level of connectivity. So while we want to have the benefits, we've just got to be smart about how we secure it as well.
Can I ask your opinion on this? I have a couple of people I know that really are conspiracy theorists. Now, I'm not saying that in a derogatory way. They firmly believe in these things, particularly the street lights and so on. They honestly think that we are being watched. Is there any possibility of that happening?
I mean, no. So, like you said, from that perspective, I mean, there's definitely use of obviously cameras in public areas.
Cameras and, different,
like,
yeah.
Councils and others. But from the audio devices and other parts as well, the legislative framework that's in place for those and with the use, obviously, government's making sure that that's getting used effectively. And you know, there's been multiple posts that have come out about the use of a range of data information with China and the social scoring and a range of other parts. So we're definitely nowhere near that stage. But still, I'm always mindful of anything, like, you know, where I'm staking or I'm posting, where I'm communicating. You know, making sure that, like, if this is something that is getting, you know, watched, viewed, listened to, it's like that with the images. What would grandma say with what you're posting, if you're posting an image and content? So it's the same thing.
She'd say, "You're not going to go out dressed like that, my young lady. You're not going to put that on, photograph of that on Facebook."
And funnily enough, when I'm actually talking about online, you know, cybersecurity and cyberbullying and a range of other parts, that actual line probably carries more influence and power than 3 or 4 of the other slides that I do, because it makes people stop and think, oh, you're right, grandma wouldn't like it. Oh, yeah, I understand what you're saying.
It is so true. There's got to be a sense of morality, I think, in whatever decade we happen to be in. And just one final thing. The governments of the day are really copping it, aren't they, from not the whole population, but certainly certain areas of the population, about them so-called controlling our lives. Now, I see it as there's no choice, personally, but a lot of people are going off about it, aren't they?
Yeah, so, I mean, from the controlling point of view, do you mean with regards to the masks and behaviour and conduct under this?
Yes, yeah, and no travel and, you know, interaction, that sort of thing. I mean, to me, it's common sense not to, but they're saying, oh, totalitarian, we're, you know, the all this and that. And, I mean, they really are copying it.
Yeah, definitely. And part of it with us, I suppose, the sad part, like, if we're with this, is people are also making some of their responses when they're seeing videos posted in short part of people that are reading elements of scripts, like, that will include a couple of little subsets out of the bio, the biosecurity, like your accent and other parts as well, and not checking that. So if the person is sort of sharing some of this content that seems legitimate and then referring to an actual act in the clause, well, it seems true. So unfortunately, like, you know, that swells. Yeah. But with the way that things are getting managed at the moment, with the you know, the risk landscape for with COVID and how things are getting action and control in those controlled stages, there has to be that level of control. It's an emergency state, and we need to take the right measures.
It certainly is. We've never thought that this would happen to us in our lifetime. Great to always speak to you, Scott. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Jenny.
Thank you. Security with Scott Taylor.